Let me ask you a question and promise to be for real with me. Have you ever felt like a scammer when promoting your online course? And be honest with me, no one is gonna hear your answer, just in the privacy of your own mind. Do you feel squeamish selling your online course? Do you sneakily try to promote it, hiding it from your friends and family? Because they're also sort of giving you the side eye and making you feel a little bit weird about going after online courses? Now, if you've answered it with a yes, you're definitely not alone. In the span of the last month, I've had about 5 conversations revolving around this topic, and I think it's about time we put this to rest. Welcome to the Launch Society podcast, the podcast where we go deep and share the real behind the scenes of building a successful online business. I'm your host, Anastasia Ushakova, online course expert and award-winning marketer. To date, I've helped my clients generate over $3 million in collective revenue, and in this podcast, I'm spilling all the tea on how you can create and sell out your online course. Now, the topic of today's podcast is close and dear to my heart because you cannot imagine how many times I've had a conversation with one of my clients that goes along the lines of, I really want to launch a course, but my friends and family think I'm a scam. Just last week, I was talking to a friend who had launched her online course a year ago, and she told me that her boyfriend still sort of thinks it's a scam, and every time she talks about it, he's sort of supporting her, but is also sort of suspicious about what she does. And so many course creators I've talked to told me they had to block their family and friends because they were just so terrified that they were gonna think they were scammers. Now, I know firsthand how frustrating it feels when someone from your close circle just does not understand what you do and they're questioning it, because when I first told my parents that I'm going to become an online course consultant and do this for a living, their first immediate reaction was a little bit reserved, to put it mildly. The first thing my mom told me was, I hope you're not going to be like one of those scammers selling thin air and scamming people out of their money. This was the first time I really had to come to terms with the fact that not everyone is going to understand what I do, and not everyone is going to think that what I'm doing is good, because there is this image of online business and online courses in particular that just screams scammers. And to be completely honest and fair, at a certain point that image is justified, because there are a lot of people who are selling really bad products online, and there are a lot of people who are selling you get rich quick schemes. But something tells me if you've landed on this side of the internet, you are not one of those people. So how do you get over this mental hurdle of feeling like you cannot really promote yourself? And I can with 99% certainty spot a creator who feels squeamish about online courses just by the way they talk about their course. They start all of their content with this apologetic demeanor, almost like, I'm so sorry I'm promoting this offer. And they often say things like, I know I'm super basic now, LOL, or something like, ugh, I know it's stupid and annoying, but I have to do this. And this is, to me, is just such a telltale sign. You're not really confident in what you're selling, and I can guarantee if you're not gonna take care of it right now and nip that in the bud, it's gonna come and bite you in the ass, because it's gonna impact all of your marketing, it's gonna impact how you develop your online course. It's just not gonna do you any favors. So today, I'm gonna share my top tips with you that have helped my clients to get over that mental hurdle and to kick that doubt to the curb, to stop second guessing yourself. And before we jump into the actual tips, a little word of encouragement for you. I know it might feel like you are the only one who feels this way, but when I tell you, nearly every single client of mine has gone through similar doubts. It's normal to doubt things like that, especially if a lot of people around you, or maybe people in your closer circle, are a little bit distrustful towards what you do. But even some of the biggest course creators I've worked with were still doubting their offers every now and then. It's just very human. So it's not a sign that you're doing something wrong. It's just part of the process. Think of it almost like an initiation payment. All right, so how can you kick those doubts to the curb? Okay, so this might be a little bit of a tough love, but I think you need to hear this. You will never be able to scale your service business to 7 figures without burning out if you continue to only sell your one-on-one services. The truth is, whether you're a freelancer, consultant, hairdresser, personal trainer, the only ways you can grow your revenue are pretty much either raising your prices, which, let's face it, has a market cap to it, or going down the agency route. Hiring more people to be able to take on more clients, becoming quote-unquote more professional, the whole shebang. And don't get me wrong, this can definitely work, but if I'm being honest with you, I've only met a handful of agency CEOs who were actually genuinely happy running their businesses. And I've worked with a lot of agency CEOs. Most of them admitted that going down the agency route made them despise their business because, for one, all of a sudden they became a manager, something they never wanted, and now they're stuck in endless feedback and performance review meetings instead of dedicating themselves to their craft, the very thing they actually started their business for. Secondly, it massively increased the stress and the weight of responsibility on their shoulders, because guess what? More people equals more overhead costs. And finally, it actually did not give them any more freedom, because at the end of the day, they're still selling billable hours for money. So the second they're not actively working in a business, the revenue dries up. Now, what's crazy to me is that there is a way less stressful and cheaper way to scale your service business, which is to take the skills and knowledge that your clients are already paying you for and productize them into a scalable online product, like an online course that you only need to create once but can sell over and over again without ever running into capacity or skyrocketing your costs. Now, I'm going to show you exactly how you can do that, detailed, step-by-step, no gatekeeping, not on this ad, otherwise it would go on for another half an hour, and we do want to get back to our episode, but I do have a free training for you. It's linked in the show notes below, so go check it out and get instant access and start scaling your business the easy way. All right, let's jump right back into the episode. Tip number one, and this is something I do not see anyone talk about in the online course space, is to have a killer curriculum for your online course. If you've been following me on any social media or taken any of my free trainings, you've already heard me harping on and on about this because it's that important. If you want to feel confident about your product and if you want to promote it with integrity, I want you to ditch the advice that you've probably heard online somewhere. Advice that goes along the lines of invest 80% of your effort into your marketing and 20% into your product. Now, what makes this advice so tricky is that it actually has a grain of truth to it. The experts that advise you to do this reason that if no one buys your product, they will never find out how great it is, so your time is better invested in creating this shiny marketing plan so that more people actually buy your product instead of spending months and years perfecting it until it's like this image of perfection. And this is where it gets tricky. On one hand, I'm never gonna tell you to push to perfection and try to get everything just 100,000% right, because that's just not realistic and that's not sustainable. And we do not want you falling prey to perfectionism and your course never actually seeing the light of day. But at the same time, if your self-belief and your confidence are already a little bit shaky, this 80-20% advice is the worst avenue for you to go. Because you're already doubting yourself a little bit on some level. If you invest only a fraction of your time into making sure your online course actually delivers on a promise it makes to your students, there's just nowhere where this confidence can stem from. So by following that advice, you're literally undermining yourself. You're literally playing into that stereotype of online marketers selling people stuff they don't need, and there's actually just a shiny wrapper, but nothing of value behind the surface. So what I want you to do instead is hyper focus on your curriculum. Again, it doesn't mean that you have to invest months and years into perfecting your course, by no means. But you just have to be sure that what you have to offer to your students has some substance, that it has value, that it can actually deliver the results. Now, I actually have an entire podcast episode that centers around this topic on how you can make your curriculum so much better for your students and ensure that they get results. It's an amazing interview with Vix Mildrew, and I'll link the episode in the show notes. Now, the second thing you're gonna wanna do is work on that mindset. And before you roll your eyes at me, hear me out. You can put up a show for the entire world and you can trick everyone except for yourself. How you think about yourself in a privacy of your own mind matters, because it ultimately informs what kind of thoughts you think. The thoughts you think ultimately inform your actions, and your actions lead to your results. So if in the privacy of your own mind, you just think that you have nothing of value to offer, that the course you're selling is a scam and that you're ripping people off, how do you think you will show up in your marketing? How often do you think will you promote your course? How confident will you be about this? How will you go about creating it? I can tell you, it's not going to end in a best-selling course, and it's not going to end in a course that gets your students results. You need a rock-solid foundation of self-trust in order to stay in this game for the long term. And let me be clear, by mindset, I do not mean that you just think positive thoughts and then everything falls into place. I mean real, deep work. Mindset is not something that you do passively. It's not something that just happens overnight, and it's not something that's linear. And I have to remind that to myself as well. If I plot all of the biggest wins in my life and the biggest milestones, all of them pretty much I can trace back to working on my mindset in one way or another. So what are some of my favorite tools? I really think there's no size fits all. You have to try around and see what works for you. So let this recommendation be sort of a starting point, but if something else floats your boat, by all means, go for it. Now, thing number one that has completely flipped the script for me were ceremonial Kotao meditations. I had first tried it about a year ago at a meditation studio in Berlin, and I really loved it because I had never felt so deep and connected in my meditation as during that ceremony. It's really hard to describe experiences like that in normal words because I feel like you do have to feel and go through them in order to really do the experience justice. But what Kakao basically does is it puts you in this elevated state and makes you really energetic, but not jittery and anxious like coffee does. It's more of like a deeply relaxed yet wide awake and alert state, which is very special. And so what I like to do is once or twice per week, dedicate the time, cook ceremonial cacao, do it mindfully, then drink it, listen to my favorite meditation, and then journal. I do find the meditations I do after cacao ceremony just feel special. They feel different. They feel deeper in a way, and they just put me in such a positive mood for the rest of the day. A little side note, ceremonial cacao is not your normal cocoa powder. It's actual 100% raw chocolate that hasn't been heat treated, that doesn't have any additives, and you could probably get your hands on it online. But yeah, substituting it for hot cocoa powder will not do. Now, other two things that I've also already mentioned are meditation and journaling, the good old tried and tested method. I really love Dr. Joe Dispenza's meditations because they're long and you have time and space to really go deep. I've given Headspace a go years ago, a couple of times. I really did not want to give up, but I couldn't help but feel so irritated and annoyed every time because this 10 minutes short and snappy meditations would just get me more worked up than relaxed. I was like, how am I supposed to feel my body? How am I supposed to concentrate on a breath where like every 5 seconds there is this new input, there's something new I need to be doing? And Dr. Joe Dispenza's meditations are completely different. Now, if you're not familiar with his work, he's a scientist and a lecturer, and some of his most famous books are Becoming Supernatural and Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. What really sets him apart in this like meditation and mindfulness space is that he quantifies everything that he puts into his books. Like, he actually puts the science behind the meditation, which I found very fascinating. And to my rational mind, this is exactly what I need. I love it. I gobble up all of this explanations. This just helps me internalize all of that stuff and really go at it with full belief, which is, I think, so necessary. So yeah, check him out. He has a bunch of meditations on his website. And I mean, journaling, obviously, the tried and tested method. I've been journaling for as long as I can remember myself. This is definitely one of my favorite ways to reflect and to work on my mindset. There's just one caveat with journaling. It doesn't work if you feel like you're writing for someone. Like, you have to be so brutally honest and you have to be just open, right? Because you're not journaling for someone to read it. It's not like a novel that people are going to read. And then the last thing I want to mention before we move on to the next point is something I've been getting into lately, which is EFT tapping. And EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Technique. It's a technique basically that stimulates acupressure points by pressuring, tapping, or rubbing on them while focusing on situations that represent your personal difficulties or your fears. So tapping through your negative emotions and then tapping in the positive affirmations or positive beliefs after. I've only been doing tapping on and off for a couple of months, but it has quickly become one of my favorite ways to really ground myself really quickly. If you were to say, have a feeling randomly throughout your day that, oh, I'm a scammer, I cannot do this, like this is all a scam, online courses are a scam, I don't want to do this anymore, you would just tap through it with EFT tapping. First, tap through all of the negative beliefs and through all of the negative emotions, and then tap in the positive. And I've done this a few times with some major doubts that come while I was working. And it's crazy because you can feel almost an immediate relief, like your body relaxing. And the thing that happens when you let go of that stress and you let go of that fight or flight mode, you just have more energy that can go into creatively solving your problem or actually thinking about it in constructive and helpful ways instead of just going around in this negative thought spiral, which is not helpful at all. So these four would really be my topic for mindset work. I really don't like to go overboard and do all of the things at once because I think easy does it. I feel like often people cannot stick to a routine when it becomes too complex. So I want to keep my mindset work simple and straight to the point. And I'd suggest you do too, because mindset, like I said, is not something you dip in and out of. It's like a lifelong journey. It's not going to be linear. So the more you can make this a constant in your life, the better it will be. Now, my third tip for not feeling squeamish when selling your online course is to actually go out and talk to your students and have some face-to-face interaction and communication. At the end of the day, this entire notion of being a scammer comes down to not delivering on your promise. And the easiest way to counteract that is to actually go out and talk to your students and see and hear firsthand how your online course has helped them change their lives. And it's surprising to me how many online course creators just simply do not do this because they're too busy and because there are always other things to do. They gather all these testimonials, or their team gathers all their testimonials, but they never actually talk to people one-on-one. They never revel in all of these happy feelings of having helped someone improve their lives. Now, in one of the teams I was part of, we actually had this tradition, an entire Slack channel, which was called Love, where we would share client feedback, and not just testimonials, literally just DMs from Instagram or emails or comments in our community or someone making a comment on a coaching call. And let me tell you, seeing that positive feedback pour in literally every single day was the best feeling there was. Online courses might not solve world hunger or world problems, but to me, helping someone improve their lives even in one tiny area is already a win. Now, for those of you who still don't have any students and you're just about to launch your course, the same is still valid for you. You are launching your course on a topic of your expertise, on something that you've selected. That means you've probably already helped someone achieve the results they have. So go and talk to those people. If you are your own best testimonial and you haven't worked with clients yet, honestly, just go on and sell a power hour or go out and help out someone for free. But get that boost of confidence, because the investment in helping your clients get the best possible results will pay you twofold. Not just monetarily, they will pay in your confidence. And this is your most important asset as a business owner. My next tip for you is to stop consuming content that is dragging you down. And I'm not just talking about like sad videos on Instagram or YouTube. I'm talking about content that talks about other business owners in a bad light. I've recently stumbled across one podcast, and I'm not going to mention the name. I loved some of the episode, absolutely hated the others. But basically, the entire premise of the podcast was to have a critical look at the world of online business, which is, to be honest, fair and warranted. But as I was listening to it, and they were dragging every single expert, every single tactic, every single strategy you've heard of online, at a certain point in the podcast, they started dissing people for doing affiliate marketing. And literally their diss was that people who are doing affiliate marketing are piggybacking off of good faith someone has with their audience and just monetizing on that. And I was like, of course they are. That is the entire premise of affiliate marketing. Like, that is the purpose and the goal. What are you going on about? Like, why is that a problem all of a sudden? And then they started coming at people and saying the only reason they are successful is because they started their businesses back in the 2000s when the internet was just starting. So of course they're successful, and of course everyone else is not. And at this point, I was like, okay, this is it. I'm not listening anymore. If I had been at the start of my journey, if I weren't as confident in my skills as online course consultant, like, this would really freaking bring me down. This would have absolutely killed my confidence back then. To me, this is such a limited worldview, and I don't want to adopt it as my own. But the thing is, you don't necessarily have to consciously agree with something for it to seep through the cracks and start infiltrating your system. When you hear something often enough, the sheer power of repetition can make something sound true to you, or at least not as audacious as before. So if you're consuming a lot of really negative content that is exposing other business owners or exposing that industry, exposing this industry, I think it might really weigh down on you negatively. This is not to say that we don't question any industry at all. Of course that's important, but you know exactly what I mean, right? Like, don't consume this negative content just for the thrill of it, like just for the sake of it. I know those videos are super interesting to watch. They're designed in a way to keep you hooked in, but just like, don't play into that whole vibe. Don't actively participate in it. My next tip for you is to really just start being okay with the fact that people will always have something to say. I know it's easier said than done, but at the end of the day, if everything you do in your life is based off other people's opinions, You're just not gonna live the life you want. And you know, online, you see a lot of this advice that goes along the lines of, if someone is questioning your abilities, they're not a good friend, cut them out. Well, I don't think you have to go to this length. I'm really not a friend of this method where whenever something doesn't go your way, you cut people off. There's a time and place for that, don't get me wrong. But you know, if they're not sabotaging your success otherwise, I think there really are a little bit softer measures you can take. For instance, just tune them out. Do not give them an opportunity to weigh in on your business. Just do not talk with them about your business. Just do not bring it up. If you know that someone's not going to be supportive, don't start telling them about your business plans. And if they bring it up and they continue being condescending to you and they continue sort of putting you down, just tell them, hey, would it be okay if we did not discuss this topic? A lot of times we put all of this pressure on people from our inner circles, our family, our friends that we've had for ages, to be super supportive of everything we do. And obviously that's the best case scenario, but we shouldn't expect perfection from everyone. My last tip for you would be to go out and find a couple of business besties, people who get you, people from the same industry who do the same thing that you do, people that you can really bounce ideas off of with, that just really get where your business is about and get where you're going. I honestly think sometimes it might even be a little bit unfair to our normal friends or family to expect them to understand everything we do right away. My friend circle, I think half of the friends don't even understand what I'm doing. Like, they know I do something remotely connected to marketing, but if I'd ask them to describe what exactly I'm doing, I think half of it would get it wrong. And that's fine, because our friendship is not based on my business. It's based on them supporting me in pretty much every other area of my life and just being a nice, good friend to me. And so your business bestie circle might have nothing to do with your friends in like normal life. For instance, for me, my business bestie circle are some of my ex-clients, people I met at networking events, and my ex-colleagues. And I feel like sometimes we might expect people from our inner circle to sort of check off all the boxes on this imaginary list of what we expect them to do, instead of taking a step back and being like, hey, they might not understand what I'm doing, but it doesn't make them a bad friend. And I mean, obviously, I always feel like I have to do these disclaimers just to ensure people don't misinterpret. Obviously, if someone's being a chronic jerk to you, ditch them. But other than that, I do feel like we could cut some slack for the people in our lives. All right, that wraps up our episode for today. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to share your takeaway on socials and tag me at It's Anastasia Ushakova, or just drop me a DM or drop me an email. I'd love to chat. I always read all of the DMs and messages and reply to them. Make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. It would really help the Launch Society reach even more people, and that would really just make my entire day.